Good evening and welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, the WDIY program presented along with our partners from the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. Welcome our co-hosts, as always, Becky Bradley, the Executive Director, and Matt Assad, its Managing Director.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Tonight, we will take a look at the sea changes that are happening in the way the Lehigh Valley is developing and growing, and the steps planners, the community, and municipal leaders are doing to respond to the impacts that are literally changing the landscape of this region. Joining in this discussion as our guest is Lehigh Valley Planning Commission Chief Community Planner, Jill Seitz.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Jill is a data and housing expert who has been with the LVPC since 2017. She has played a key role in projects that include Future LV, the regional plan. She authored one of the nation's first equity analyses and worked with the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia to develop a housing and jobs market assessment for the Lehigh Valley. You may recall Jill from a previous Plan Lehigh Valley show because she also helped co-author the organization's public participation and limited English proficiency plans. Matt, let's start with you. What do we mean when we say the landscape of the Lehigh Valley is undergoing drastic changes?
So I think we're talking about all the things we're all seeing every day. We're seeing the kind of large industrial buildings that really have mostly been around the past decade. We're seeing building proposals that are taller than we've seen before. And we're seeing a flurry of large housing proposals. You know, we're talking about projects that have the potential to change the face of the communities where they are located. But we're also talking about a very active effort by municipalities, professional planners, and community leaders to respond to these changes. You know, all of this is really the result of the Lehigh Valley being an attractive place to live and grow a business. You know, it's why Lehigh and Northampton County are among the biggest and fastest growing counties in Pennsylvania, while two-thirds of the counties are shrinking. We're in demand, so there's this give and take of how to strike the right balance of managing that growth to maintain this high quality of life that everybody seems to want a piece of. These are the challenges of being a really successful region.
It's location, 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 right?
Location.
Yeah. So, Becky, the thing most people notice first is industrial development. How have things changed in that area?
Since 2015, there's been almost 37 million square feet of warehouse space approved by local governments. And they have final say in the approval of those development plans. Really, municipalities have approved 25 warehouse projects that are a million or more square feet out of that total. It's really 36.7 million square feet, almost 37 million square feet. So of those, 25 of those projects are a million square feet or more. So the buildings are getting bigger and bigger in terms of their footprint, but they're also getting taller. We used to see, you know, warehouse proposals come in at 30, 40 feet. Now they're 60 feet on average or taller. And how you kind of figure out what that means is it's about 10 feet per story on a normal house. Could be as much as 12 or so, but let's just use the 10 factor. So you're talking a 6-story building for your average industrial facility.
So I already said that location is one of the reasons our area is so attractive. But why do you think this region has become such an integral part of the national and global e-commerce economy?
Well, we've started buying more online. I mean, that's really the crux of the issue. But also the port of New York and New Jersey has significantly expanded. As a result of that, they can bring in more freight. They work together in the New Jersey, New York area to raise a bridge to allow taller ships to go through. And then there are more and more people living in the Northeast United States as well. So what's really happened is that area between the port of New York and New Jersey on out to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, has all seen massive increases in industrial development. So it's everything from North Jersey all the way through to the Harrisburg-Carlisle area, and even down into York, going down into DC. But what's really occurred is between the Lehigh Valley and Harrisburg, we now have the 8th largest industrial district in the country, which, by the way, is nearly equal to the New Jersey, New York industrial square footage. So as a result of our transportation system, population growth, improvements in the ability to receive freight, our desire to shop online, global supply chains are evolving, some in some ways becoming more efficient, in other ways maybe not, but it's a factor in why we have so much growth in industrial. We really do have a very low vacancy rate. I think that's one of the biggest questions that we get at the commission all the time, is that people think a lot of those industrial buildings are vacant. They actually aren't. We have about a 7% vacancy rate right now in the region, which is below average when you're looking at industrial real estate. But a lot of those places, you know, might have trucks coming in only once a day or twice a day, and then other ones have trucks coming in all the time. And so it varies from facility to facility what's happening. Also, those buildings are big. I mean, you got 25 of them, a million square feet or more, right? So, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of things can happen in a million square feet. So we're seeing things, people just call them warehouses, but there is often good storage inside of them, but there can be manufacturing. One of the things that we've noticed recently is multiple companies will share one larger space. So you won't know there's like three businesses that actually have storage in that building, but there really is. So there's a lot that goes on in those big, 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 big boxes. And that's attractive for businesses, especially since the people that own those industrial buildings, which are usually an industrial real estate company, they have, you know, lease terms of, you know, 5, 7, 10 years. And so it provides some flexibility for businesses and how they operate. They don't tend to be long-term leases. That also provides uncertainty as well. But by and large, you know, global supply chain has grown. Industrial all across America has grown. We're seeing the net effect of that. Plus, it's easier to develop in Pennsylvania. Regardless, I'm not saying that issues of permit, that speed of permits aren't real. They are. But it's a lot easier and cheaper to build in Pennsylvania than it is in neighboring New Jersey. And that's driven some of that growth as well.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've also seen some pretty big changes in the commercial building market. Can you talk about some of the landmark projects that are changing that equation?
Oh, where do we start? Jill, you might want to jump in on this one. We got a proposal in for a 37-story tower in downtown Allentown a little over a month ago.
I was going to ask about that, but I was afraid to bring it up.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, at these come in, right? Like, and we started thinking about, oh my gosh, a 37-story building? What would that do? And when you really start thinking that through, I mean, that would be the tallest building outside of Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. And then when we really started looking, Joey Doda, who's a community planner here, along with Jill and myself, worked on that review together. And what we really found was, if you built a 35-story, let's say not even 37-story building, that would be roughly half of the tallest buildings in downtown Philadelphia in terms of height. So that gives you an idea on scale. This thing would be big and it could create shadows on the neighborhood and other things. And I mean, the truth is it, you know, it's challenged regulations in the city of Allentown for sure. They don't have height restrictions there. And then, you know, they've got a lot of new development. It's amazing. There's been a lot of things that have been very additive to the city as well as the region. But this one is above and beyond anything that anyone had thought of. And so that creates a whole other level of challenges. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing globally. And I don't know if you maybe want to talk, Jill, about RPL a little bit. That's another one that was kind of a game changer we started seeing last year, I think.
Yeah, we had a proposal come in the Sleep Belt area in Upper Mount Bethel Township for just about 6 million square feet of industrial development. It was over about 12 buildings. Some ranged from just a few hundred thousand all the way up to 1 million square feet in a single contained large development, which really, if it does become to be built, would be the largest industrial development that the region has seen. And maybe from somebody from an outside perspective, it might appear to be a good location for that development because it did have what appeared to be good access to Interstate 80 across the Delaware and New Jersey toll bridge into New Jersey. However, once you really zoomed down to look at it, there were many challenges present with the site, ranging from environmental resources, proximity to the Lehigh River. There were several infrastructure challenges like lack of sewer and water availability. The roadway infrastructure in the area just had not been designed to accommodate the level of traffic that that development would generate. However, that proposal came in and clearly demonstrated that a developer identified the potential for the site that would meet whatever market demand was there. But that really is a challenge for those communities in that area to balance between the proposal and the developer's needs.
And just on the infrastructure alone, right, you're talking a largely rural community there, though there are some portions of it nearby that are developed, like Portland Borough and Bangor Borough and the like. But, you know, you really have to invest millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to improve the infrastructure around there to be able to successfully accommodate a development like that. Like, here's one of the unique challenges to that. And this is why development review process has to be so thoughtful and so technical, is there is a rail crossing, a freight rail crossing that goes over the road. And this site is on the other side of that freight rail overhead crossing. Well, it is really low. And there, if they repave the road, the tops of the trucks would scrape the rail bridge. So there's real challenges of infrastructure and how do you address existing conditions, still maintain the freight mobility. It's also very narrow to the road in between underneath that rail crossing. So, I mean, you could easily argue that in order for that facility to function effectively, that you're going to need to replace that bridge. You're going to have to raise it up and widen a road out below it. When you start looking at individual developments, you really start to see that the nuance and the complexity of the challenges be in front of us, whether it's these really big ones like a Peregrine Tower and the fact that shadows can cover an entire neighborhood, especially in the winter, or it's issues like we saw in RPL, the scale and intensity of development has substantially changed. And we're seeing it every day. I mean, these are just two really big examples, but it requires all of us to think differently and to plan differently and to respond to the challenges that are in front of us.
So, Jill, the housing market is one of those things that affects everyone. What are you seeing different about the way developers are approaching home building?
For one thing, we've seen housing development accelerate in recent years. We especially saw that during the pandemic, back when interest rates were so low. But even with the recent higher interest rates, based on this year's housing proposals, we are already on pace to end 2024 with 43% more housing units proposed compared to last year. So developers see a need for housing in the region's market and are trying to meet that demand. We're also consistently seeing a mix of housing types proposed. There's been a surge of apartment units, but there's also been a mix of single family, townhouses, manufactured homes, and even condominiums. We're seeing some more creative projects, like one example is the proposal to convert the vacant Dixie Cup factory into apartment units. And we're also seeing some more infill housing proposals in boroughs beyond just the region's core cities and townships, such as in Wingap, Penargill, and other boroughs in the Slate Belt area, where there really hasn't been too much housing development activity in quite some time.
So are we anywhere close to solving this housing shortage that we're in?
Well, like the rest of the country, the housing downturn from the early 2000s really caused a steep drop in housing production in the Lehigh Valley. Home building was reduced to a trickle for nearly a decade. And in the meantime, the Lehigh Valley has been seen more and more as a desirable place to live. And population has been steadily growing by about 4,000 people per year. So despite those recent increases we've been seeing in residential development, we're still not building as much housing as before, and we're playing catch up to a 9,000 unit housing shortage after that 10 years worth of little construction as the economy slowly recovered. And on top of it, LVPC's population projections expect that the region will continue to increase by another 100,000 people by the year 2050. And that's like adding another city of Allentown and city of Easton just over the next 25 years. So even as we're working to get caught up to where housing supply should be today, it's almost like a finish line that keeps getting moved further and further away, making the housing shortage a real challenge that won't just be resolved within the next couple years or so.
Wow. Now, Matt, you've been following how people view these kinds of changes for decades. Is this era any different? I mean, isn't change constant?
I think the short answer to that is yes and no. So the development market, of course, is always changing, but this era really is different. We're in this high growth time, and that makes things harder to manage. It's not as though this has never happened before. We had a massive housing boom in the 1980s. There was a flood of people coming in from New York and New Jersey. Thousands of new homes were built. It kind of sent housing prices skyrocketing in the mid-80s. Then again, in the early 2000s, we had another boom, and that was a little different because it wasn't just thousands of homes, but it was really big homes on really big lots, and that was kind of new to us. But now we're in a little bit different. It's a lot of industrial buildings plus a very diverse mix of new homes, so you sort of have two booms at once, and although interest rates are certainly tamping some of that down, we're still dealing with managing that, and it's almost like this double punch.
You know what I noticed, Matt, when you said that, is it's like every 20 years, there's a housing boom.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Downturn.
And then a downturn. Oh, no.
Now for the big question, Becky, how are the community and the LVPC responding to all this change? Let's talk about industrial first. How do we respond to 1 million square foot buildings?
Couple ways. And, you know, I got to give a shout out to many, 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 many of the region's 62 municipal governments. We have had more ordinance amendments and changes and complete rewrites of zoning codes than we've ever seen in 5 years, or ever seen before in the last 5 years, really. And the communities are trying to evolve their ordinances to meet the challenges. Because these big types of projects are so complex, they're needing to refine their regulations. And the days of labeling your industrial district general industrial and all industrial goes here, I think those days are over, right? Because it doesn't give enough description of the type of uses that we're seeing. There's a big difference between a quarry and an e-commerce facility. And even within e-commerce facilities, there's different types of those. And interestingly enough, we've seen some high cube warehouses or high cube and automated warehouses, or just warehouses that are automated. And like high cube warehouses, they could be, you know, as much as 12 stories tall. It's like a skyscraper of stuff. And so refining those codes and learning how industrial buildings themselves and industrial operations themselves have evolved and are evolving is key. So we know that our local governments are going to continue to have to respond. So a couple years ago, we started off with a very important effort where we looked at all of the zoning codes in Northampton County, working with the county. And wrote a guide to land use and zoning for the county. We're doing the same for Lehigh County starting this year and going into next. And that helps support our local governments and how they can evolve things. I think another thing that's been very effective, and this is something we've been working on for 10 years for a variety of reasons, is where we have groups of like-minded communities that are near each other. We've been organizing with them multi-municipal comprehensive planning efforts and have had some great success there. In fact, more success than any other place in the state. So the six Northern Lehigh communities, which is Heidelberg, Lynn, Washington Township, Lehigh County, Slatington, Weisenberg, and Low Hill Townships, they created a multi-municipal plan with goals, policies, and actions that they agreed on that were the direction for their community over the next 10 years. They adopted that towards the end of 2022, and now they're jointly updating their zoning codes together. So what that means is they still retain their autonomy and their individual codes, but it allows them to trade uses. So right off of I-78, where there's a robust industrial district, it makes sense because the infrastructure is there to keep your industrial there, and that you have, you know, your farming up in Lynn Township. Now I'm heavily generalizing, but they're able to work within a series of land uses and say, okay, well, this makes sense for us up here. Or you know what, this one makes sense for all of us. And so they've been able to go through a process of updating their laws to match that plan, as well as creating official maps. And that's a great tool for communities to say where they would like particular their community facilities to be, whether it's public works, buildings, or parks, sewer plants, and all those kinds of things that make a community work, including schools and other things. So they're starting into the adoption process on that six series of codes. We've been working with the Slate Belt communities for a very long time, almost 10 years at this point, from idea phase to a draft multi-municipal comprehensive plan. And we have 8 of the 10 communities there that are entering into the adoption process for that strategy. And it's the first time that group of communities has come up with a common set of goals for themselves. And then they're looking to partner with Northampton County and to hire a third-party consultant to do individual zoning code updates in a similar vein to Northern Lehigh. And then Jill's got a really good one that she's working on specifically. So you should tell them about River Central.
Yeah, like the other multi-municipal plan efforts, we've been a partner with communities in the River Central area. So that involves Catasauqua, North Catasauqua, and Northampton boroughs, Hanover Township, Lehigh County, and East Allen Township. So really the core area of the region, right along Route 22, right at the Lehigh Valley International Airport. Those 5 communities, it's their first time all working together. They went through the planning process, had really robust public engagement, and adopted their plan right at the end of last summer. And now they've been working on finding a consultant to also help them with their coordinated zoning effort. And they're anticipating having that project kick off this fall.
As you can see from just these examples, I mean, that's a lot of communities right there. You know, they're really saying we can't do this alone, but we still appreciate having local control. And they've found ways with our support of working that out. And I think that's critical. And so there's a lot of ways that communities are addressing it, but I think that's one that should be celebrated because it's a way also too, when a developer comes in, you know, they got a common set of definitions that they're working with, you know, across a group of communities. It reduces the amount of time and the cost and third-party professional services that that developer would need to go through the process. And why that's as important is if you're going to get to yes, it's important to get to that quickly. If you're going to get to no, it's important to get to that quickly as well. It's healthy for the community to have a very well articulated and outlined process for that so they can get to those answers, just as it's important for the development community to get those answers quickly and efficiently as possible so they're not burning through money that they don't need to. It allows all of us to be more efficient and more effective and at the same time be able to navigate the challenges of growth.
Okay, so now let's go back to housing. So Jill, in regard to the growing housing crisis, what can be done to create a healthier market?
Well, generating the housing supply we need is important, but it must also be intentional and consider the needs of everyone. The Lehigh Valley is a diverse region, and so we have a wide range of needs and shifting living preferences. For example, multi-generational households have increased by 19% over the last 10 years. Younger generations are helping with caregiving or financial assistance for older family members. And older generations are providing childcare, helping family members save costs on external care services. People also have different housing needs across all stages of life, and the region lacks suitable housing across age groups, which results in financial disparities. 70% of seniors are cost burdened, spending a greater proportion of income on housing costs than is recommended by financial experts. 60% of younger adults are also cost burdened. Those are typically on entry-level salaries who haven't generated the wealth of older adults, making it difficult for those who grew up in the region to remain here as they enter the workforce. But even for people between the ages of 35 and 64 who are in their peak earning years, 49% of those individuals are cost-burdened in the Lehigh Valley. So housing attainability really affects everyone. It's your grandparents, your children, and your neighbors. And all of those factors really underscore the need to take an intersectional, targeted, and collaborative approach to identifying exactly what quantity and types of housing are needed in every community across the region.
So, Jill, this is a big effort. What other partners are joining in this effort?
Addressing the region's housing shortage is an effort that will require participation across multiple sectors and industries, including local governments and school districts, developers, banks and lenders that fund development, real estate agents, employers, and community organizations. Working together as a collective, we'll be able to lay out a housing supply plan that is achievable. And that's exactly what we're doing, thanks to the support of Lehigh County. In the fall, we are kicking off a workshop as a collaborative approach to develop that strategy that will reduce the region's housing shortage and increase housing attainability across all income levels. The project will examine what housing is needed across incomes in each municipal and school district jurisdiction, identify what is currently hindering or preventing housing production, and determine what actions need to be taken to strategically and intentionally increase that housing production and attainability. And the region's local governments in particular have a key role to play in addressing residents' housing needs and managing growth. Local governments have the ultimate regulatory and approval power over what development occurs in their communities. And the kind of collaboration that Becky talked about earlier with multi-municipal coordination is really the kind of partnership and teamwork that will actually result in addressing the region's biggest challenges.
Becky, with a few minutes we have left, is there anything we've missed talking about, or there are initiatives we haven't talked about but will be coming up in the next year?
Many things we haven't talked about, but that's okay. We've got more shows, right? Yeah. One thing I would add is on the industrial piece, we talk about a lot about the industrial buildings, but we're also working with our neighboring regions in Pennsylvania to create an Eastern PA freight infrastructure plan. That's going to be critical to understanding, you know, how goods are moving, where they're moving, and then where we can target transportation infrastructure investments. And I just want to give a shout out to the partners that are part of that, just so people get an understanding of how big this thing is. It's what they call the Northeast Pennsylvania Alliance. So it's Pike, Monroe, Carbon, and Schuylkill counties. It goes into the Wilkes-Barre Scranton area, into Lackawanna, Luzerne counties, down into Lebanon County, and then over back to Berks County, and then into Lehigh and Northampton. So we're talking five very distinct regions that have been experiencing a lot of growth in industrial and a lot of challenges related to that, to their infrastructure. It's 400 municipalities, I believe. This is a real opportunity for us to look at what our transportation needs are going to be. And you'll be hearing a lot more about that joint effort in the fall. And I would like to thank PennDOT too. They have been a tremendous partner and very much encouraging the effort to move forward and even helping with some of the funding to make that plan happen.
Well, we're all out of time. As always, it's a great conversation and a lot of information. I want to thank you, Becky, Matt, and Jill for participating in this tonight. If you would like to listen to this program again, please go to WDIY.org or the WDIY app or your favorite podcast platform. Again, I'm your host, Margaret McConnell, and you are listening to WDIY. Have a great evening.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to the WDIY website or app to share or become a WDIY member.